This is the story of how some Jamaican jam musicians became a fountain of music and eventually flooded the world with the sounds of reggae and ska. Clement Dodd was behind the mixing board at Studio One Studios in 1954, as Studio One became the source for some of the most popular music in the world. Chris Wilson was around in those days as a teenager. Today, he's one of the last of the A&R guys, artists and repertoire at Studio One. Wilson is the producer of an album that showcases the treasures of Studio One's greatest musical moments. The album Moneymaker is being re-released today, and Wilson says the legacy of Studio One has been a long time in the making.
What happened is that before recordings really happened in Jamaica, the big band era was, you know, strong in Jamaica. And you had, you know, big bands and you had smaller combos that played live music. But when American music started to change from more of that jazz-based form to more, R&B, and the people in Jamaica really liked that better than the jazz. So they came in and started to play records at dances instead of actually going to hear bands. That was really the birth of Studio One and Mr. Dodd.
But Studio One was a stripped-down kind of raw operation.
Yeah, it was based more on what was going on, especially in the early years in the late 50s. It was basically they were cutting American R&B. It wasn't ska that we know today. It was really a very Americanized form. But as time went on, the Jamaican influence started to creep in, and it became, you know, what we know as ska. And ska really came in 1962, 1961.
Oh, little girl, you have me in a rage.
Just around the time of independence. So Jamaica's cultural identity came into fore at the same time that Jamaica became, you know, independent. And Studio One was really very instrumental in giving the soundtrack to the independence movement in Jamaica.
Is that timing why so much reggae music is really about something? It's not simply old girlfriends and this and that?
Well, what happened is that when I was growing up, you'd hear stuff like Peggy Lee and Frank Sinatra on the radio. So Jamaican music, which wasn't really popularly played on the major stations, became more a ghetto form. And what happened is that people were interested in what was happening around them. And Jamaicans are very politicalized. They would take what was happening in the street and put it into records. And they became like newspapers more than actually just music.
Was this directed by Studio One, the idea of where do we go next? What's the mission? What content do we embrace? Or was it the artists that were doing this?
Well, you have to remember also that, you know, Mr. Dodd, who was the founder of Studio One, he was a black man living in a world where black men had not really been taken that seriously.
Black man's bread. Black man's red. Black man's bread. Black man's red. Set us free. Set us free.
Especially up until 1962, when England was still the ruler of Jamaica, blacks really didn't have that much impact on the life of Jamaica. So these people, these pioneers like Mr. Dodd, used his own version of himself, his own blackness, to create his own product, which was really different than what, you know, the prevailing recording mood was in Jamaica for other labels.
What was his style? I mean, was he a thumbs up, thumbs down, kind of no words, sort of mysterious fellow sitting in the corner? Or did he actively engage with the musicians?
All of the above. You know, it depended on his mood and how the things worked. You know, he wouldn't say anything if things were going well, but, you know, he was vocal if things weren't going the way he liked. His A most important facet of his thinking about music was the bass. And he brought the bass to the forefront. So what we hear today
in reggae. So that's him. That's his idea? That the bass takes the melody in reggae?
Oh, yeah. He was very concerned about making it danceable. and he wanted the bass and drums to really have an impact. So what we think of Jamaican music today, which is, you know, reggae and the big bass and all of that, he was the one who really pioneered that approach to the music. He didn't like a melodic bass and guys who were playing, you know, all different types of notes. He wanted it raw, straight up.
What were the hits, the big records that came out of Studio One that you can, I mean, it's a really long list, but...
oh, God, it's there. There's, I mean, he put out about 3,000 singles, so you can only imagine. But I would say in the ska period, you would have, like, Simmer Down by the Wailers. Stuff by Toots and the Maytals, the Scatolites. Then going into Rocksteady, you had Alton Ellis, all of his stuff. He was sort of like a Marvin Gaye of Jamaica. And the band, the Soul Vendors. They had a lot of big instrumentals that, you know, kind of people use today and sing different lyrics over them. Then he started reggae with stuff like Nanny Goat by Larry Marshall. And which was probably... It's credited to be at least the first major reggae song. Maybe somebody along the line had a song recorded in similar style and tempo and, you know, the way it was constructed before him. But he was the one who dominated these particular periods.
How many A&R guys do you think there are left in this business?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I mean, the way it was when I was a kid and, you know, you have guys who were searching for, I mean, you read all the stories of, you know, all the major UK studios and finding people and the Beatles and, you know, Kinks at Pie and all of that. I don't think we think about music that way. I mean, even when you get something to like Panic at the Disco, you're still trying to create a product. The same way that they were trying to create products in the 1950s. The 60s and 70s and were just like whatever went. If it sounded good and you got a vibe from it, it could go. And that happened in Jamaica too. But, you know, A&R guys, the way it was in the early days, I don't know if it exists anymore.
Well, we're grateful for your passion, Chris Wilson.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Chris Wilson is director of A&R at Studio One.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.